Amen. Good evening, church. Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening, church. All right. I'm glad we're all together here in the house of God to worship the true and the living God. My heart is full of gratitude. I think the Lord's Day is always a wonderful opportunity to consider our blessings and the richest goodness that God gives us and to be thankful. But I just, a little bit of inside information. I'm especially grateful tonight because my in-laws are here with us down from Indiana. And to have a little family reunion at my house is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm also truly grateful that we might be able to study God's Word together in this place. And my Bible is open to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and I hope you'll open your scriptures there as well. I want to draw your attention tonight to one of the iconic moments of Old Testament history. It is this scene of Moses on the hill overlooking Joshua and the children of Israel who are battling in the valley down below him, battling against the Amalekites. It is this episode where when Moses raises his hand and the rod of God in his hand that the Israelites are winning the battle. And yet if he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning the battle. And so I can imagine the silhouette of Moses, arms outstretched over the course of a long day, and the sun finally setting. Perhaps it looks something like this picture that I've shown you. It is the account found in Exodus 17, beginning in verse number 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Here is God's people and God's cause. And as they fought under God's banner shown forth in this rod, there was victory. God's on their side. God's fighting with them. But Moses must uphold the banner. Moses must uphold this rod of God. Now, Moses has called for the battle against Amalek, not because they were trying to start a war with the Amalekites. No, on the contrary, the Amalekites had been preying upon the weak and the stragglers of Israel as they were trying to journey through their land. They were on their own journey, trying to go to the promised land. 40 years after these events, Moses would recount them to the next generation of Israelites. And he would explain, Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary. And he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." And here a prophecy is set in place that ultimately would be fulfilled or intended to be fulfilled in the reign of King Saul. All of this to say that Israel was not attacking Amalek. They weren't starting a war. No, indeed, enough is enough. Israel's being attacked, and God would defend his people. So Moses mounts up on the hill after sending Joshua down with the children of Israel to go and fight this battle. But he doesn't go up on the hill alone. Who's with him? Two names are given us in the book of Exodus, Aaron and Hur. Now, Aaron is a fellow who's perhaps a more common figure to us. Aaron is a brother to Moses. Aaron is the first high priest and leads the order of Levitical priesthood. We read about Aaron. But Hur, who is Hur? His name only comes up a couple of times in the Old Testament. He's involved in the construction of the tabernacle, which was the tent, the first place of worship the Israelites used. His name is also put along with Aaron's to watch over the people when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the law. But why? Who is her? Well, it's interesting, but Josephus tells us the tradition of the Jews is that Hur had a wife named Miriam. Miriam was Moses' older sister. Hur's the brother-in-law. And if that's the case, then it kind of makes sense that Aaron and Hur are together with Moses and together with Moses on this moment. Now, I want to think about this Old Testament account tonight because I believe it presents a fine analogy as well as a lesson for Christians and how we care for one another, how we are to comfort one another and help one another overcome the challenges we face. Because here we see Moses. He is serving God. He is leading the people of God. He is upholding the banner of God, witnessing victory in God. I mean, his heart is right. His heart is there, but his hands got heavy. And the grace of God that was seen on that day, it wasn't just in the battlefield down below as victory is given to the soldiers. But there is grace here for Moses. For he gave Moses Aaron and Hur. Because Moses could not do God's bidding by himself. Oh, he was there in his heart, all the way in his heart, but he needed somebody there to hold up his hands. And I trust that we all know of a time when our heart was right. We were going to serve God. And we were going to be with God and be faithful to God. But our hands were heavy. And just as God gave Moses, Aaron, and Hur, so he has given us brothers and sisters in Christ for those very moments. When our heart is right. But our hands are heavy. I want to talk about that with you for a few moments tonight. Sometimes you are a Moses. Sometimes you're a Moses. What's Moses doing this account? What do we see Moses' role here in Exodus 17? He's the right person doing the right things. Here he is, the leader of God's people, under God's banner, in God's service. He's the right man doing the right things. But what happens? The day is long. Have you ever thought about how old Moses is when he's asked to hold this rod above over his hand until the battle's over and it goes on all day long? He's in his 80s. He's in his 80s. Not a spring chicken. He's in his 80s. And I imagine as he's looking down there with his arms over his head, he realizes pretty quick, this is not going to be a quick strike. Because we see in the text, he perceived that when he lowered his hand, Amalek starts winning. He raises them back up and his people are winning. It's not going to be a quick strike. And Moses begins to fatigue. But here are Aaron and here are Hur gone up with him. And it's a good thing because as they see that Moses gets tired, they act to relieve him. I'm telling you, sometimes you're a Moses. Sometimes I'm a Moses. And we need to keep an eye on a Moses. As I look on Moses in this account, I think about brothers and sisters in Christ who are doing their best, who are working hard. Their heart's right with God, but they are up against an intense task. They have an intense work from God, and it's getting to be a long day. Let me give you some examples. I think about congregational leaders and teachers. When I think about those that are Moses in our own day. You know, we have elders in the local church here at Livingston. We've got six men, and they're good, godly men. I think about those elders, though, because they're still men. And in the challenges of leading the congregation and shepherding the flock of God, it can be a great, great task. It's too much of a task for any one man to do because in God's wisdom, there's always a plurality of elders, multiple elders in a local church. But I tell you that it gets to be a long day. And here our hearts right, but hands can get heavy. I think about deacons in a local church. When I think about congregational leaders and teachers. And how oftentimes they're doing service that goes on for a period of time without being recognized before the church. Without any word of commendation or thanks. And your arms can start to get heavy when you think nobody appreciates you. Or you're only going to hear about it when something's wrong. Your arms can get heavy. I think about Bible class teachers who prepare so well. And God bless you, Bible class teachers in this church. As I go around to the different classrooms, I see how they're decorated. And my children have been going in the classes now for about a year and a half. And I see the effort and the challenge. I know about that too. I've taught classes many years. But sometimes your arms get heavy when you think, I don't know the parents are backing me up. Or I'm not sure that the kids are preparing their lessons, or they're working against me the whole time that we're together, and you're doing a great, great work, but your hands are getting heavy. Sometimes I think about preachers and evangelists. I'm not going to have a pity poor me party up here in front of you. But just to be real, I hadn't been preaching very long at all when I had the opportunity to have a lunch with an older preacher who was a bit of a hero of mine. He had been a gospel preacher over 50 years at that time. He was a personal friend to my grandparents. And I sat down with him. I said, give me wisdom. Tell me what I need to know. And he said many, many things, but a couple of them really stuck out. One of them was this: Andrew, a preacher never has two good days in a row. You have a really good day, but don't expect another one the next day. And the second thing he told me was every gospel preacher will reevaluate his life to think if he should be doing something completely different every 5 years. Okay. He was dead serious about that. So what's that mean? Hands can be high, but your arms can get tired. Your arms can get tired. And I've shared some of those statistics with other gospel preachers. You know what they said? Happens a lot more frequently than 5 years. That's what that's what they said. So this happens. This happens. We know we're doing God's will and we're under his banner, but our arms get heavy. When I think about people who are Moses, I think about families in congregations. I think about parents who are given a great work under the banner of God to raise up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And yet every phase of parenthood brings a different challenge along those lines. And we start out with these little babies and we're just trying to make sure we don't, you know, drop them. And that's a big, big challenge. And we feel so bad the second time they roll off the bed and things like that. And it gets even harder when they start moving, right? Then parents start talking about when their kids are old enough to be making their own choices. And how do you have that tension of I want to shield them from temptation and sin, but they also have to be able to make their own choices. And I want to protect their innocence, but it's this whole world out there. And what do I do? Our heart's right. We're there for God. We're there for our kids all the way. But our hands get heavy. Our hands get heavy. I think about single Christian spouses. You're a Christian, but your spouse is not. And what are they trying to do in the home, in their family? They're trying to lead their spouse to the Lord. They're trying to introduce Jesus into the home. And I tell you, your heart's right, but your hands can get heavy. I knew a sister in Indiana years and years ago, and she was a wonderful sister in Christ. Her husband, to my knowledge, never became a Christian. And she described it to me one time like this. She said, I married him. He got me in Jesus. And I got him in the world. That's what she said. And it really worked on her. Trying to influence him and be the light to him. The kids, I'm trying to raise up kids to know the Lord, but they're getting another message because the dad's in another place. It's a hard thing. And I see how, you know, the hearts are right, but hands can get heavy. Think about families who are caregivers for the aged or for the chronically ill. You know, the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 how when our parents become aged, it is the responsibility of the children to make a payback and to take care of their parents in these years. Take care of the widows, right? Take care. And yet, we have this phenomenon in our society right now called the sandwich generation. And there are people and some people in the room who are in a phase in their life where their kids have not launched, they haven't adulted, to use the word, where they've gotten out on the house, and yet mom and dad have gotten so old they got to move back in the house. And so here's the sandwich. I'm trying to raise up my kids and be a parent to them, but also got to be the caregiver for the aged parents, and I'm in the sandwich. And they really feel squeezed. Hearts are right. I got to be a good parent. I got to be a good kid and take care of my parents. But the hands get heavy. Chronic illness with a spouse. Chronic illness, Alzheimer's, things like this with parents, our hands get heavy. It gets to be Moses. I give you a third area I think about. When I think about people who are Moses today, I think about those work in progress saints. I'm going to unpack this a minute. And when the sermon's over, a couple of you are going to say there's a better way to say it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to believe you. But it's what I got. The work in progress saints. Now, all saints are work in progress. Tell you what I believe. I believe I'm still breathing, so God is not done with me. And I believe that about you as well. We are living stones, constantly being fitted and polished and shaped to make this living temple where Christ dwells. All right? So God is working on us. We're all works in progress. There are some brothers and sisters in Christ that get in a place in their life and their walk with the Lord, however you want to say it, who they self-identify this way, okay? Like the best thing they can say about them is, oh, I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. They are so aware and so transparent that they are not where they need to be on some things, or they are not who they want to be in some areas, and they're struggling. Like Moses up top, they want to be under God's banner and they want to see some victories. But they're still struggling with some habitual sins, and their arms are getting heavy. They're facing trials and hardships. Their arms are getting heavy. I see Moses and all these. I think Moses, right person, doing right things, serving God under the banner of the Lord. We're going to see some victories. What's Moses need to learn? What's Moses need to be aware of? Moses needs to understand. Moses has to learn that you will not do it alone. For this task, you need God and you need your brethren. You need God and you need God's people. That's what Moses discovered that day. God's given all the victory down there in the battlefield. But God had given him Moses and Hur to help him keep his hands up. His hands had gotten heavy. Can't do this one alone. Moses needs to learn that there are others who can and will help. And in Christianity, in our walk with the Lord today, it is God's family. It's other Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ. And so then Moses needs to receive the help. Moses is called in the scriptures a humble man. In fact, no one surpassed him in humility. If anyone was going to be proud about humility, it would be Moses. But then that would wreck the whole thing, right? Right. But the Bible, he didn't say I'm, but the Bible says he's the humblest man. Very, very humble man. All would have been lost on that day if he had been proud and told Aaron and Hur, nah, I got this. All would have been lost. He was a humble man. In order to receive the help and realize I need to be faithful to God's word and uphold this rod and work under his banner, but these others got to come along so that I do it. And that's where we are today in our ministries and in our struggles. We need one another because our hearts are there. Our hands get heavy. That's the Moses. Sometimes you're Moses. Sometimes I'm Moses. Secondly, though, sometimes you're an Aaron and Hur. I'm an Aaron. I'm Hur. What are Aaron and Hur doing at this moment in Exodus chapter 17? Well, they're watching Moses, right? And here's the task of Aaron. Here's the task of Hur, to be watching out for the weary and then willing to come alongside and help. I don't always think of myself as Aaron and think of myself as her in these ways. And yet notice some of these New Testament teachings that help us see, oh, no, wait, no, Andrew, you need to be Aaron. You need to be her. Such as Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, the scripture says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You have to appreciate, and I have to appreciate, that my brothers and sisters in Christ, they have burdens. And whether they're struggling with sin, that's an obvious one, but it may be discouragement, it may be weariness, it may be a host of other things that, again, the heart's right, but the hands are heavy, and the burden is to continue on. I want to be there and come alongside them, to be an Aaron, to be a Hur. Or as the scripture teaches us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, I have to have some recognition and some willingness to be there with people and to empathize and sympathize what the struggle will be. Again, I'm not about having pity more people, pity old me parties, but it's nice to know someone understands and they're going to be there for you and we're going to go through it together. And that's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. That's being Aaron and that's being her. We're going to lift up your hands. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Four wonderful exhortations here, but with this Aaron and her discussion, I'm kind of focusing on two of them. And the first is this, where it says to comfort the faint-hearted. Some of your versions might even say encourage. It's the same word, it's the same Greek word that's translated encourage in other places. Encourage those who lose heart. Encourage those who are doubtful. Encourage those who are fearful. What is this teaching us? That there is an emotional need to continue on in serving God and doing right. And as my brother and sister in Christ are going to help meet that need. That God in all of His grace is supplying all our needs. But He's going to use His people in order to do it. Comfort the faint-hearted. The other thing I wanted to highlight out of this is uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. We said there's an emotional element to continue serving God. Sometimes our hands are heavy emotionally. But uphold the weak is about this. You need to be strong and lend strength for those who are exhausted, for those who are weary, for those who are without strength. Uphold the weak, which teaches me that there is a physical need to be able to continue on in serving God and doing what's right under His banner. My brothers and sisters in Christ are here for me spiritually. We knew that one. But emotionally and physically, because our heart's right, but our hands get heavy. Today you help. Tomorrow you may be the one in need of help. I think about the vigilance that the Lord taught His disciples in Matthew 26 and verse 41. It's vigilance that we need to learn as well. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our hearts are right. Our hands get heavy. Now, for Aaron and her to come alongside to help, what did that mean for Moses? It said in Exodus 17, they did two things. First, it says they set a rock for him that he might sit on. And then secondly, they came on each side of him to support his arms. Wow. And it's all figured out. We're going to keep your arms up. And this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. So how can we set the stone? How can we uphold the hands of our brothers and sisters in Christ when their hearts are ripe but their hands are heavy? I believe the scripture shows us five things I'm going to share with you and the lesson is yours. Number one, we are to be upholding one another in prayer. In our prayers. Prayer is an important thing to learn as the children of God. And so many times we are very good about praying to God about our own needs and our own situation. Notice this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. And there is a kind of a prayer which is not about my own struggles so much. It is about my brother and my sister. And the word for that is intercession. That's what that word intercession means. I'm praying, but I'm praying about someone else. I'm praying about someone else's situation. And so when we see that someone's hands are getting heavy, we begin to pray on their behalf. We pray for the comfort and we pray that they be upheld. We pray for these things and we uphold them in prayer. Not only this, but I think a second way that we can set the stone and uphold the hands for brothers and sisters in Christ whose arms are getting heavy, it's this word hospitality. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, the scripture says, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. And what a marvelous little expression that means, running after hospitality. Crazy for hospitality. So I think really underscores the importance of brothers and sisters in Christ being close with one another and in one another's homes. And I'll tell you, when we sense that arms are getting heavy, a very powerful thing to do is to reach out and make a call or make a visit. And yet that sounds like I'm inviting myself over. So the other way we can achieve that is ask them to come over. Have that meeting, have that time when we can put on the coffee and talk a little bit. There's something I'm seeing going on and maybe I'm way off base, but if I'm not, I sure want to help. But if I'm not, I sure want to be there for you. And so whether it's in my home or preparing food, depending on what the need might be, or taking it out somewhere where we could talk, but having a closeness and a sharing time together to let them know you really care. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, we are taught about the power of encouraging words. Not only about the power of encouraging words, but that this kind of speech should characterize all of God's people. For in Ephesians 4 verse 29, the scripture says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Your speech is edification, means building up. Your speech is to be words that build up others. Your speech is that which imparts grace. Have you ever thought how your words can be gifts to a brother or a sister that's really struggling? They can be. And so the time you take to send them that text, "I'm thinking about you," or to do the accountability thing and make a phone call, depending on what the need is or where the weariness lies, or to send an email or to write them a little card, it means so much. I'll tell you a quick little story here. I mentioned elders early on. I'm going to come back to that. There was a sister in Tennessee, just a little fireball of a sister, older sister in Christ, Sister Sue. And she's bigger in life. She wasn't all that tall, but she really was bigger in life. And she had this deal about elders. She never forgot about them. But she'd have a saying, "Elders need a hug." And elders wouldn't always see it coming. But every once in a while, out in the foyer, man, she'd grab one and hug one. And she'd say, "Elders need a hug." That was all she said. And then she'd go on about the worship or wherever she was going. Talking to one of the elders there one time, and he was telling me, "She'll never know how much that hug means to me. When it just comes randomly and out of the blue." And he said, "And when I have these times where I'm dealing with this situation or that situation, I remember Sister Sue. And she just gave me a hug." And it's true, elders need a hug. That's just a little expression of encouraging and uplifting words. That one's a word and a hug. But it's uplifting to set the stone, to uphold hands. Number four, sound advice and counsel. In Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 9. Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 9. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the situations where we need some aid could be quite as blatant and obvious as Moses? Moses, what do you need? "I need my hands up." We can do that. But all the examples I was giving you earlier, maybe not near that obvious. And what to do about it, maybe not near that obvious. And so in Proverbs 27 verse 9, the scripture says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." Sound words, good advice, good counsel. Sometimes in our struggle and when our arms are weary, it's because we need some good advice. I need a new plan. What I'm doing's not working. It's time to try something new. I need to know somebody else has been there. And I need to know a new scripture. And point me to something in the Word. I'm needing something else. And here's a brother and sisters in Christ that can bring that and uphold our hands. And we continue on serving the Lord and under His banner a little bit longer. Finally, number five, is we can volunteer to aid and volunteer our aid. That's really interesting. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, it talks about brethren who were in need. And it was an obvious sort of need. It's talking about physical needs. The scripture says this: "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now that may play out about this world's goods. And you have something and they need it and you see it. And so you're to give it and let the love be genuine. But notice what we're observing here. If you see the brother's need and you can help, you have this world's goods, right? But you can help. You have what they're needing. Then meet it. Meet that need. In other words, if Moses is needing to learn to be humble and to receive help, because maybe Moses isn't real good about expressing it, Aaron and her could do a little better job at watching for who needs some help and volunteering it. Now, nobody's mind readers, right? And so the best thing is when we need something to be transparent and to ask. You have not because you ask not, right? But at the same time, I am my brother's keeper. And if I see the situation and I can help, I don't have to wait to be asked necessarily. I can volunteer. I can offer. And my brother can tell me whether he'll take that or not. I can offer. There's five ways that we set the stone, that we uphold hands. Because sometimes you're Moses, and sometimes you're Aaron and Hur. But your heart is right. The hands get heavy. I appreciate so much your good attention tonight as we study these things. If you want to put your Bibles away and your notes away, Brother Austin, who's done a fantastic job tonight leading our song worship, he's going to come forward and lead us in another song here. My heart is right, but my hands are heavy. My heart's right, but my hands are heavy. My friend, my brother, my sister, is that where you're at tonight? Because if it is, you're not alone. And the body of Christ, which is this church here at Livingston for you, is going to lift up your hands. And we want to do that. So we're going to sing a song now. It's a song of encouragement. And if there's a need that you'd like to express to be met in prayer, perhaps in some other way, you could come forward and make that known. And we'd love to help however we can. Could be that the heaviness of your heart tonight is because you are weighed down with burdens. And it's really beyond anyone here to lift the burden. It's a burden of sin and guilt and shame. But that burden can be lifted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to unload all of those burdens in the waters of baptism, you can become a Christian today in the New Testament way. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn from sin in your life. Be baptized, immersed in water to become a child of God, to have those sins washed away. If we can help you in any way to leave here tonight right with God and encouraged to lift up your hands another day in His service, we want to do that. We invite you to come forward now. Make that need known. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?